Thank you for joining us at Thousand Hills. We hope you enjoy this message and it helps you continue your ride with Christ. Little things like the way you kiss, little things that I can't resist, little things make me feel so fine. Got to have your loving, honey, all the time. Little things, ooh, when we touch, little things, you know they mean so much. Little things never make me blue. I love those little things.
Well, welcome to Thousand Hills Ranch Church. We're so excited that you're here with us this morning. Anybody excited to be here? Thank you. Well, it is an awesome morning. I haven't been outside in the last hour or so, but I hear it's pretty sunny out. Is it sunny out? Yeah. And the weather's kind of, the temperature's kind of rising a little bit. So that's kind of cool. But it's not in here. Is that what you're saying? You're freezing? Well, the air is on, and so if you'll move up six rows, it's like 90 up there, right, guys? So anyways, so we are excited that you're here today. We have a great message planned for you, and I believe it's going to speak to your life today. And we've got some cool things coming up. We got Easter coming up. Anybody excited about Easter? Yeah. The resurrection, all that cool stuff. We're going to have it at the Fair Barn again. It's going to be awesome. So be thinking about who you want to invite to Easter, because it's just going to be an awesome time. We're going to have music. We're going to have message. We're going to have just fellowship, good food, and all the trimmings and all that stuff. Easter egg hunt, petting zoo, and we're inviting the whole community. So invite some people to Easter. We would sure appreciate that. Well, today we're wrapping up a series called Little Things. Little Things. You just heard that song Marty Stewart sang called Little Things. And today we're going to wrap up the series. And you say, well, what have we been talking about? Well, we've been talking about little ways to make a big difference in marriage. Here's something maybe you've never noticed, but it's not the big things that make a marriage last, right? It's not big diamonds. Although some of you would disagree, right? Big diamond rings, none of that. It's not big houses. It's not big paychecks. It's not, you know, big, just big gifts or whatever it is. Those things can enhance our marriages, but those things will never be able to sustain our marriage. Amen? That's just the truth right there. So here's what we've learned, though. It's the little things that we do every day that make a big difference in marriage, right? And there's a powerful scripture that I want to pull from, and it's Luke chapter 16. It's been our foundational scripture for this whole series. And listen to it as I read it, and you can read the underlined words. It says, if you are faithful in what? In little things, you will be faithful in large ones. In other words, and this doesn't just apply to those of us that are married. It applies to every area of our life. If we are faithful in the little things, God says, I'm going to increase what you have. In other words, hey, if you're faithful in the little things in your marriage, I'm going to increase your intimacy with each other, right? If you're faithful in the little things in, you know, in your finances, I'm going to be faithful to bless you with more things, right? If you're faithful in marriage, you know, and especially in marriage, he's going to increase your passion for one another. It's the little things that make a big difference. And so that's what we've learned so far. Some of the questions, or one of the questions that we've asked is, what are some little things that make a big difference in marriage? And here's what we've learned so far. Little faith in a big God makes a big difference in marriage. Amen? Little faith in a big God. Here's what we've learned. A lot of people put faith in marriage. They say, well, when I get married, it's going to solve all my problems. Does anybody know that's not true? Anybody? Can I get something? It's not true. Just let me share that with you. Marriage isn't what saves us, right? So many people, you know, again, they want to put their faith in marriage. If I could just get married, then I would be happy. Then I, you know, would be successful. Then I, you know, would be the envy of all my friends. Then all those things would, you know, stop and I wouldn't deal with all those struggles. No, listen, a lot of times when you get married, it gets harder, right? I mean, you have to stop being selfish and you have to live for somebody else, right? And so, again, little faith in a big God makes a big difference in marriage. The second thing that we learned was little words. Little words make a big difference in marriage. Can I get an amen on that? That I'm going to be pulling for amen, so just give them to me before I ask. Okay? Amen. Thank you, Billy. Billy's on my side over here. But, you know, but little words make a big difference. I don't know if you've experienced this, but you reap what you sow. Amen. Right? If you reap and you, or if you sow good words in a marriage, guess what you're going to reap? A good marriage. Right? If you sow bad words in a marriage, guess what you're going to reap? Discouragement, pain, and a bad marriage. That's just the truth. I mean, and so we have to realize that we're going to pay the consequences for how we speak to our spouse. We can either build up or we can burn down. We can build intimacy or we can build insecurity in our marriage. So little words make a big difference in marriage. Last week, Olivia, is Olivia back in here yet? Where's Olivia at? Right up there. Didn't Olivia do a good job delivering the message last week? If you weren't here last week and you're single, you need to go listen to Olivia's message that she preached last week called, you know, Little Things That Make a Big Difference in Dating. In dating. And as some of the things that she taught were, I mean, they were powerful. You know, not, you know, like allowing God to be first in your life. If God's not first in your life, again, you are building your you know, foundation of your marriage or relationships on the wrong thing, right? You'll never be able to sustain it. So allowing God to be first in your life, relying on God's voice, dating only those who love Jesus, right? And then setting boundaries to keep yourselves pure so that you can save the gift of sex to marriage, for marriage, right? Again, these are little things that make a big difference in dating. Well, today we want to wrap this series up by talking about one more little thing that makes a big difference in your marriage. And we're going to end with some questions. Some of you guys submitted questions last week, and we're going to answer a few of those as well. The last thing is this. The last little thing is little actions. You say, what makes a big difference in marriage? How can I sustain my marriage? Here's how you sustain it. You perform little acts every day, day after day after day after day, right? I mean, that's what's going to sustain and build and have a marriage that thrives. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. It says this. It says, "Dear children, let us not merely what? Say that we love each other, but let us show the truth by our actions," right? I can tell my wife that I love her, but if I don't treat her and perform and not, I don't know about perform. If I don't do things, acts, I just lost everybody. But if I don't, I'm going to lose it right now. So I just got to get back to the notes, Bo. Get back to the notes. What John, listen, John is telling us, you know, words, listen, words are great. Words are important, but we must act on the words that we say. They're just hollow. I mean, actions speak louder than words. You guys have heard that phrase before, right? A lot of times that's true. Do you need to use words to build your spouse up? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, when you say you love them, but you do things day in and day out that aren't loving, your words mean nothing, right? And so, just like John said, in marriage, loving each other, it, you know, isn't just something that we show in our words. It's a day-to-day actions that make a big difference. And so, what are some practical things that we can do that show our love or actions? And what does the Bible say about little actions? Well, I got two things. We got two things. And then we'll wrap it up today with those questions. Number one is this. The greatest marriages are two servants serving each other. Yeah, thank you. The greatest marriages are two servants serving each other. I don't know if you, when you hear the word servant, I think of a peon, I think of a slave, I think of, you know, someone that, you know, gets just, you know, like a doormat. I think of all those things that are negative. But listen to what the scripture says about being a servant and how Jesus showed us this powerful truth. Look at Philippians chapter 2. It says this, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in what? Humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the of the others, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as who? Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he what? He humbled himself and becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross.
Amen.
Listen, when you think of that word, again, like me, you think, oh, I just got, you know, I'm going to be, you know, taken advantage of. I'm going to be beat up. I'm going to, again, you know, all those negative thoughts come when you think of the word servant. But the Bible says the word servant is a great thing.
Amen.
It's a great thing. When you serve one another, you win. That's how you win in relationships. I mean, you know, Jesus, he said, you know, I've come not to what? Be served, but to serve. And so Jesus is our greatest example of this. And when it comes to living in marriage, when it comes to living for Christ, guess what? Servanthood is the key. It's the key. And so in these verses, we see how Jesus shows through his life how to be a servant to others. How did he do it? He was God, right? He was in heaven. He was in a perfect environment. He gave up, all of that so that he could come to earth and serve us. And how did he serve us? He served us in the most historic way, in the most miracle, miraculous way. And that was by dying on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
That's how much he served us. Amen? And so Matthew 20:28 says what I just said. It says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to what?
Serve others
and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now listen. Jesus is our example, and we're to have the same mindset. Did you catch that? Look at Philippians 2:3-5. It says, in verse 5, it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as who?
Christ
Jesus. In other words, we're supposed to serve each other just like Jesus did. And it's the small acts, it's the little acts that are foundational and that are going to sustain our marriages, our relationships, and everything that we really do. And so here's a practical example of that. I feel like, you know, as a couple, that we should be a couple that everybody hates. I don't know if you're wondering what you say. Well, what's that mean? Well, have you ever been around that guy that does everything right for his wife and you're like, I hate you? Why do you get your wife flowers, you know, when she breaks a fingernail? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like this guy, I mean, he does everything right. And we all look at him and we're like, I hate your guts, right? You know who I think of when I think of somebody that I like to hate? Chip Gaines. Anybody watch Fixer Upper? Chip and Joe. I mean, Joe comes to Chip all the time. Hey, Chip, I need you to move that, you know, that fireplace 3 feet over there. And Chip's like, you bet, Jojo. You bet, Jojo. You just get on with yourself. Bring me a sandwich. Right? I mean, Chip, I'm like, I hate your guts, dude, because you make us all look bad. Because, again, he is a servant to his wife. I don't know if you see it. I don't know. But that's how we should all be. And guess what? It's a mindset. I'm telling you, you have to change your mind. When I was single, before I got married, I was pretty selfish. Anybody selfish before you got married? Yeah. Some of you guys are still selfish. I know I am. But I got married when I was 28 years old. And so here's the thing. I had my ways, right? And I thought, well, this is, you know, my way or the highway, right? We get married, she's going to love everything that I love. And, you know, we're going to, you know, I'm going to have all my needs met. And, you know, it's all about me, right? That's what caused friction and caused our honeymoon to be the honeymoon from hell. And the first year or so of our marriage was really, really, really tough because I was selfish, because I wasn't a servant. But here's what I've learned over the years, right? And it's taken years, and I'm still not perfect at it. But when I, you know, when I put her ahead of myself, when I serve her, guess what? It means all the world to her, and it changes our relationship. It just does. And you say, well, you know, how was I selfish? I'll just tell you some of mine. Maybe you can relate to these. You know, she would want me to come in at night a lot of times. I like to work outside. She'd want me to come in. Hey, I got dinner. You know, and I would look at her. I don't need to eat. Leave me alone. I'm working in my barn. Right? Anybody been there? I'm going to just skip that meal that you worked hours on. You know, again, I don't need to call in, you know, when I'm headed home. Right? I mean, I left my mom a long time ago. Right? So I don't need to call in when I'm headed home. And again, little did I know that just meant a lot to her. She could have that meal ready, right? She could be, you know, ready to greet me at the door or whatever it is because I was kind enough to say, hey, I'm headed home. And she wouldn't worry about me, right? It's the simple things. It's the little things. I was selfish in that. You know, I wouldn't check in. If I wanted to go hang out with the guys after work or whatever, I'd just go hang out with the guys and I wouldn't let her know. And she'd call, hey, where you at? Whatever. Again, selfish things. And while, again, I'm not perfect, I have learned that checking in honors her. Not always being outside honors her. Coming in and just, you know, those little acts that show her love, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I think that a lot of it goes back to, you know, communication and expectations in marriage. Beau maybe was selfish. I was selfish, but I also had unrealistic expectations. I mean, I grew up with, parents, and sometimes I think we go into our own marriages thinking that they're going to look like our parents. And my dad, I mean, he left work at 6 o'clock. He was home at 6:30. It was clockwork every night. We knew exactly what time he was going to be home. My mom had supper ready, the kids at the table, and it was just what we did. So when we got married, I expected that to look the same way. I expected Beau to call, say I'm on my way home. I would have this great meal ready. We would sit down and everything would go just like it did, you know, all the years that I grew up. And what I realized was that that was unrealistic. For my dad, I think it meant a lot for my mom to do that for him. But for Beau, he really could care less. I mean, if he gets home and he has to wait an hour for supper to be ready, he doesn't care. If I want to make he'll say, make a peanut butter and jelly just so I can get out the door and go do something. And that's what floats his boat. And so just having the communication to voice these things that are simple and small but can build a lot of frustration if you are, you know, expecting him to do one thing and then he does another. So I think communication is huge. Another, you know, some other things that Beau does is he, you know, just to brag on him, the little actions that mean a lot to me is he does not, how many of you guys hate running errands? Like girls, or how many of you hate going to Walmart? Does anyone hate Walmart? I mean, it depends on what time of the day it is, but especially if I've already got the kids and I've got to go to Walmart, I'm like, oh, I hate this. But if Beau, if he's in town, you know, we live 25 miles outside of town, and so it's a chore for me to go into town just to get a few things from the store. And so if he's there already, I can shoot him a list and say, hey, can you get this, 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 and this? And he's like, sure, anything else? And I'm like, you know, and that's something else. I don't think my dad has ever shopped at Walmart. Like, I don't think my dad has ever bought a gallon of milk. And Dad, if you're listening to this and I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But I mean, that just, you know, was different. And so when he's like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. I mean, I've had to learn, you know, and train myself to ask him to do it, allow him to serve me and to do those little acts. So that's something that I, you know, appreciate. He picks up after himself, little actions. He picks up his clothes off the floor and actually puts him in the dirty clothes. I don't have to pick up after him like my kids. Another, you know, little thing is he likes to go shopping with me. You know, we'll go shopping and he'll actually, you know, be active in the process. He doesn't just sit there on his phone like, geez, how much longer is this going to be? He actually, you know, picks out clothes, brings them to the dressing room. You know, just little things like that are
fun. And I love it.
You do love it.
I actually do. I enjoy it. I could joke, but my wife's style has changed for the better. When we got married, I'm telling you, she looks great, though, doesn't she? I mean, doesn't she look great?
No. You picked it out. So no,
I picked it out. I picked out everything. Nice.
Another, you know, small act is, you know, I go and get my hair colored every now and then or whatever. And Beau will sometimes, like the other day, I was at the hair salon and he had dropped me off and he was running around. And then he came back and he walked into the hair salon and everyone's kind of like looking at him like, what's this guy doing in here? But he just
I walked
sat
in
there
like I own the place. And I did own the place because the bill was large when we left there.
But he just sat there and, you know, got to know the girl that does my hair, just got to, you know, visit with her, ask questions and all this stuff. And what was kind of funny was when we were finished, she was like, Heather, come here. And so she's like pulling me aside because she wants to tell me the astronomical amount that I owe her for coloring my hair. And she's afraid that Bo will, you know, that I'm going to get in trouble. And so she doesn't, she's being respectful and kind and considerate because I'm sure she faces this quite a bit. But she's like, Heather, come here and I'll tell you what you owe. And I responded and I said, oh, it don't matter. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
You know, because he doesn't care. And so I think it just those little actions of, you know, encouraging me to do some things that I enjoy mean a lot. And they make me feel loved. They make me feel happy. They make me feel relieved a lot of times. It's like, whew, I don't have to worry about that. Or I can, you know, go and do this without feeling guilty or whatever. And they make me feel valued.
Yeah.
So, those little actions.
And then this gal started spraying this good smelling hairspray on her hair. And I was like, just get another bottle. Get a bottle of that, too. And then she was like, how much is it? And I'm like, okay, put that bottle back. It's like, this is way too expensive. But
that's why your hair always looks good when you leave the hair salon. You can never recreate what they do because they use these crazy.
It's a hair salonist,
products.
Right? Hair salonist or a hairstylist?
Hairstylist.
But, you know, again, little acts like that, I've learned, make a big difference. You know, some of the things that Heather does for me, again, I take for granted all the time, but, and I know most women, and I say most women, a lot of women wouldn't enjoy this, but when I am working outside, she'll come out and help me work. Some of you men just went, hey, you know, elbowed your wife. But, you know, if I'm digging holes, she'll come out there and help me dig holes, you know, try to at least. And, you know, painting, you know, we built a lot of pipe fence at our house and she, you know, came out and she painted pretty much the whole fence. All those little things of her entering into my world make a big difference. Amen. Some of you ladies need to hear that. You say, well, why doesn't he meet my needs? Why didn't he do the little things for me? When was the last time you enjoyed something that he enjoyed? Right? And I've learned to not allow my wife to have an excuse, too. So she's like, hey, it's too cold. I can't go out there. I buy her coveralls because it's all about her. I just want her to keep her cold, keep her warm, you know? Buy her gloves, buy all those things, because I want to serve her. But anyways.
Well, and something on that, I think it means a lot to Bo for me to go out there and do those things, but it means even more when he doesn't have to ask me. And that's something that I have to get better at because I don't know about you, but he has a very large to-do list. Like there's always something he wants to fix or change or paint or whatever. And so sometimes I'm very fearful to say, what can I do for you today? Because I know like anything I had in my mind that I wanted to get done is going to be out the window. But
I don't need lunch. She talked about lunch. Yeah. I just don't need it. Anybody don't need it? You don't need it. I mean, she's like, hey, we're going to work today. We don't need lunch. The kids are okay. I mean, that kid's hanging from a rope upside down, but he'll be fine when it's all said and done. So again, I understand your fear, babe.
Yeah. So, but just offering, you know, means a lot to him. But another thing is we're preparing this message this week, and I got online and was kind of researching, you know, little actions that make a big difference in marriage and all this. And I came across a Christian website, and they did a survey. And I thought this survey was really cool because it was and it actually said little actions. And I was like, this is in the little things that make a big difference in your marriage. And in this survey, close to 100% of the spouses said that these little actions, you made a huge impact in their marriage. And they even gave an example of how the lack of little actions destroyed one marriage. And I will talk about that in just a minute. But it said these little actions made them feel cared for. And these little actions made a huge impact on their happiness. And what's neat about these little actions is that they're learnable, they're doable, they're easy things that we can apply to our lives. It's not like it takes a huge effort to do these things. But some of the little actions that matter to men, and a lot of this, I think, goes back to a couple weeks ago when we talked about words. A lot of the things for men in this survey was words of encouragement, words of gratitude, words of appreciation. A lot of those matter to men. Another little act that mattered was showing that you desire your husband and that he pleases you sexually. And so I think that obviously speaks, you know, women, you might roll your eyes and think, oh, that's all, you know, they care about or whatever, but is the way God created them, and it's a huge thing for them. And so if we will communicate and show that we, you know, appreciate and care for our spouse sexually, that is a little action that can go a long way as well. little actions that matter to women. Again, these were things like taking her hand, and it was randomly in a non-sexual way, just randomly reaching over and holding her hand. Maybe when you're crossing the street, you just put your hand behind her back and just walk along with her. Just, I think, that sense of protection or that you care about her. And going out of your way to make her feel special through maybe a phone call or a text. So just during the day, you know, shooting her a text saying, hey, I hope you're having a great day, or was thinking about you, praying for you today, or, you know, hope you did great in that meeting you had, or whatever. Just simple little things that make her feel special. Another thing was that's big for a woman, and I read this and I thought, I had never really thought about that, but it's so huge. But one of the things that it said in the survey that means a lot to a woman is when the husband pulls himself out of a funk and doesn't withdraw. And I thought, wow, that's really neat, because obviously men, and we do too as women, but they have a lot of pressure. They have a lot of weight on their shoulders. They have a leadership role that God has called them to. And sometimes that can be overwhelming to a man to think of all the demands that they have on them. And if they have a rough day or things are going crazy and they kind of withdraw, that hurts, I think, my heart a lot of times. And my instinct is, what did I do? You know, did I do something wrong? Or what's wrong with Bo, or what's going on? And then when he opens up to me and he says, well, this happened today, then I'm like, ugh, gosh, no wonder you're in a funk. But when the man can kind of verbalize those things and not just withdraw, that meant a lot or means a lot to women. And I think, again, it goes back to just having that simple conversation. And so Bo and I, we've even talked about this, and I'll say, you know, when you're in that mood, like, I can tell something's wrong, and I question, have I done something? Is there something I need to, you know, communicate with you about? And for him it was, you know, don't ask me, like, what's wrong? You know, or what, you know, but to verbalize it in a way of, hey, I noticed that, you know, you act like something's kind of on your mind. Is there something you want to talk about? And just, you know, offering that to them helps them not withdraw and, you know, just feel like you can't talk about whatever the elephant in the room is. So, but all of these little actions, again, will make a big difference in your marriage. And again, on that survey, what they said was this couple, this girl was, you know, visiting with her friend, and their marriage had unfortunately ended. And she said, you know, what do you think went wrong? And she said, well, you know, he worked so hard for us to take that amazing vacation to Hawaii, and all I really wanted him to do was put his arm around me at church. And she was like, wow, that is so simple. But look at the impact that it made on this marriage. And so just a few little day-to-day actions can literally save your marriage.
Yeah, and here's what you guys need to know, that those of you that are married for a short period of time right now, or you're single, here's what you need to know. This shouldn't take years to learn. If you can learn the little things that matter right now, then you will save yourself a lot of years of discouragement and you know, a bad marriage, right? Don't do like I did and it take you years to learn this. Learn it now. The little actions matter. These little things, you think, well, that's not spiritual. Absolutely, it's spiritual. To put your arm around your wife and to show her that you love her, that's what God has called us to do, right? To show her, to just do those little acts, that pleases God. And here, it influences your kids. I mean, it may gross them out, but that's okay, right? I mean, it's just what you do. And so those little acts shouldn't take years to learn. Communicate about it. If you think, well, I do all these little acts and she doesn't like them, here, clue in. You ready? They may not be the acts that she wants. You ever try to do something that you like for her, and then she responds in the wrong way? Don't do what you like to her. Do what she likes. Are you with me? And so it's the little acts, and they shouldn't take forever. You should humble yourself and start serving one another now. So the greatest marriages are two servants serving each other. And here's where I'll end. Number two, little actions rebuild and heal. You say, what can little actions do? They can rebuild a relationship and they can heal a relationship. Here's the fact. You know, some of the greatest pain that I've experienced has been in our marriage. Some of the greatest pain that maybe you're experiencing even right now is in your marriage. Maybe you're in a downward spiral and you're just headed straight for the pit. Listen, you can rebuild your relationship if you will begin to do the little things that God has called you to do. You can rebuild it. You can heal it. Healing a broken relationship, you know, or a failing marriage takes a lot of things, not just little actions. Maybe you need to take a bigger action and you need to go get some good counseling. Heather and I have been to a counselor. It's a great thing. You don't have to go when your marriage is bad. Go when your marriage is good. And so they can teach you new things so that you can apply them to your marriage. Marriage counseling is a great thing. A good Christian counselor that's going to tell you what God would tell you. They are great. And so go see them. We have them in our church. If you need their number, we'll tell you their number. You know, maybe making a lifestyle change. You know, again, what we've learned is sometimes you have to have big actions, but what we've also learned is it's the little actions that can heal and rebuild a marriage. And you say, well, what's a little action? Well, the little act of forgiveness. You want to change your marriage. You want to heal it. You want to rebuild it. You have to forgive one another. Amen? Anybody ever had to forgive your spouse? Raise your hand. Absolutely, all of us. And so forgiveness is key. Look at Matthew 18. It says this. Then Peter came to him and asked him, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, no, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. How many is that? 490 times. Some of you guys are going to go count. You're going to, okay, you're on 482. I'm not forgiving you on after 490. No, but here's what Jesus is saying. You know what he's literally saying? Infinite. Doesn't matter how many times. Just forgive them. Forgive them, forgive them, forgive them. Here's what I know about forgiveness. Forgiveness is about letting go of the past. Are you with me? When someone wrongs you, it's not easy to forgive them. But if you forgive them, that's what God wants you to do. And it must be immediate. The longer you hold on to unforgiveness, the more it's going to kill you. And so it needs to be immediate. Immediate. And then here's the other thing about forgiveness. You need to offer forgiveness whether they ask for it or not. I don't know if you've had to humble yourself and just say, babe, I forgive you. I forgive you. You haven't asked for it, but I just want you to know I forgive you. And I need you to forgive me. And you just offer that. It needs to be offered whether they ask for it or not. And so forgiveness has to do with letting go of the past. Here's another little act. Trust. Just trust again. If you want to heal a broken relationship, you want to heal a relationship that is on the downward spiral, listen, you have to learn to trust again. So many people are wronged. They're you know, I don't know what happens, but, you know, you say something wrong, you do something wrong, and you don't trust that they're going to do it again. Here's the thing about trust. Trust has to do with the future, right? Forgiveness has to do with the past. Trust has to do with the future. In other words, trust has to be rebuilt over time. It takes time and time and time. You have to rebuild your track record. And so trust, again, it's built, and it has to do with the future. And so God commands us to forgive each other immediately and rebuild that trust over time. Some of you guys, you say, well, how else am I supposed to rebuild this relationship? I have screwed it up. I know I'm a part of the issue at least. How else do I rebuild and heal this relationship? Here's a few other things. And these are real practical. You got to stop and listen. In other words, you don't want to listen. You're in a tailspin. Again, you just got to stop what you're doing and you got to say, okay, babe, I am listening to you. I'm hearing you. I want to hear what we need to do to work this out. And you just stop and listen. Some of you guys need to, learn to laugh again. I don't know if you've been in a situation with your spouse and you're in the heat of the moment and you're ticked off. And then all of a sudden something funny happens or you fumble over your words and you laugh. And how that heals that situation. Anybody been there? Yeah. Nobody? Good. Well, we're the only ones, babe. I've been in situations where we've been in the heat of the moment, and I'll say something stupid, and I'll fumble over my words, and we just bust out laughing. I'm telling you, it can heal. Laughter heals your relationship. Stop just sitting around wishing you had a different marriage and start doing something about it. Again, go do something fun together, right? I mean, I've learned that I love watching shows that are funny with my wife because she learns. Why do I always tell on you? She learns how to better take a joke. Anybody heard of Last Man Standing? Yeah, with Tim Allen? Yes, I love that show. And I know it's not real, but when he makes fun of his wife, she laughs. I know that's not real. But I'm just saying, babe. I'm just saying. Can't you take a joke? You know what I mean? So, again, learn to laugh. I'm getting myself in trouble. I'm going to keep going right here. You say, what else? You know, what else are the little things, the little actions that can rebuild my marriage? Hug, just a hug. My wife likes hugs. That's not my natural tendency, but my wife likes a hug. When we get up in the morning, I don't want to talk. She wants a hug. I'm like, okay, babe, feel my breath, you know? So I just breathe on her, and she loves that. But a hug or a massage or leaving notes or sending a text like we talked about before. Taking a walk. You say, taking a walk together can heal a relationship? Absolutely. Take a walk. Take a ride. Go get in the car and, you know, go get a Coke together. Just hang out and build that relationship back. And so remember, it's the little acts that make a big difference in your marriage. Some of you are in a situation where you need to make a big act. Let's just be honest. Some of you guys are in a relationship and you've cheated or you've said something or you've looked at something online and you know you shouldn't have been looking at or whatever it is. Sometimes it takes a big act. Let's just keep it real. Sometimes you need to quit that job because your job's killing your marriage. Sometimes you need to get rid of the internet on your phone or get rid of the internet in your house because you keep looking at things on the internet that you shouldn't. Sometimes you need to stop a friendship with another person of the opposite sex because it causes tension in your marriage. And you need to give that relationship up, that friendship up, and say, that's not worth my marriage. Sometimes it's big acts like that that are going to go a long ways. But most of the time, it's the little, consistent, thoughtful actions that can heal the pain. It can heal the pain. The bottom line is this. Little actions make a big difference in marriage. They make a big difference in marriage. We're going to answer a few questions. How many of you guys you've had questions about marriage? I know you have. But we're going to answer a few of them. A few of you guys turned in these questions and we want to answer them real quick. You want me to read it?
Okay. First question. What is the difference of loving someone and being in love with them?
Go for it, babe. That's right up your alley.
I would say that love is a choice. I think that, obviously, you know, like Bo said, there's the, you know, the honeymoon phase, you know, most people, except us, I think, no, that first year except of marriage, us. You know, it is hard, but you still have that, you know, that honeymoon phase of feeling in love. And, I think it comes easy to do things, to serve each other, to keep the romance alive or whatever. But then it becomes a choice, and I think this is often why marriages sometimes end, is because, well, I just fell out of love with that person. Well, no, you have to choose to love that person, because in the next marriage, it's going to be great for a while, and then the choice has to set in again. And so I think it's a choice to love them, and then to do these little things to keep that feeling or that emotion of love alive.
Yeah, is going to go away. I think, again, a lot of people, they put their stake in the emotion. The emotion goes away. Does anybody relate to this? Anybody, you know the emotion goes away? Can you raise your hand? Just at least one person. Thank you. The emotion goes away. Then it becomes work. It becomes work to, you know, to choose, like she said, to love each other. And again, maybe you have a fairy tale marriage where you've never, you know, not felt that love, but that's not realistic. And if you say, you know, we've fallen out of love and there is no hope for us, that's bull crap, especially with God, Because all things are possible with God. And God can bring you right back into a loving relationship if you will trust in Him. That's why a little faith in a big God makes all the difference in the world.
Right.
So,
and on that note, too, I mean, a lot of, you know, the big phrase that we hear now is just follow your heart. Follow your heart. Whatever your heart tells you. Well, you know what the Bible says about our heart? He says it's deceitful above all things. Who can trust it? We can't trust our heart. And so if you think, well, you know, my heart's just telling me I need to move on, or my heart's just telling me, no, get in God's word and do what the word of God tells you.
Yep.
Don't follow your heart.
Yep.
Lead your heart.
Here's another question. It says, how do you keep going when you feel like your spouse has given up? How do you keep going when you feel like your spouse has given up? We saw a movie just the other day. How many of you guys have Netflix? Anybody got Netflix? Yeah, get on Netflix. Look up The Case for Christ. It's the story of Lee Strobel. He was an atheist, turned a Christian, and he's written many books. He was out to set Christ as a fool. He was out to prove Christ wrong and that the Bible was wrong, and he became a believer. But here's the cool thing, and the movie shows this. His wife was the one who stood beside him in that whole time. It was his wife that was the one who continued to go to church. It was his wife that prayed and asked God to change his hard heart to a soft heart, right? Ezekiel, what was it? Ezekiel 36:26. Some of you guys have a spouse that has a hard heart toward God. God can change their heart. You get on your knees every day and you pray and you give it to the Lord, and God can change their heart. He can do it. Amen?
Yeah.
So if the person you feel like they've given up, listen, there's never, it's never hopeless with God. Never.
Communication is a big deal, but how do you communicate back and forth without getting defensive? I think this is something I struggle with. I tend to get defensive because sometimes when we want to communicate, or if there's something that Bo wishes I would change, I take that as, like, I take it personal, as a personal attack sometimes, a lot of times, actually. And so when we're communicating back and forth,
never.
In order for me to, you know, to quit being defensive, I have to realize that our marriage and the struggles that we have aren't against each other. It's a spiritual battle, and Satan tries to knock us down. He tries to pin us against each other a lot of the times. And something that Bo does really great for me in those moments of, you know, if we're talking about something and we're arguing or whatever, for him to say, babe, Satan's trying to get in the middle of us right now, and he just calls it out right then it's like my defenses go down. When he says, you know, I love you, this is something, we're going to get past this, you know, we're going to work through this, then it's like all of a sudden that defense that I had is broken. And so I think affirming each other in the moment, like affirming, I cannot stand you right now, and you have made me like spitfire mad, but I love you, and I know that we're going to get past this. Like that, I think, automatically breaks down the defensiveness.
I'll do this. I think it's the last question. During marriage, does God allow for me time, or how does God see having individual time? You ready for this? Here's, and I've taught this before, but this is true. Ready? I believe that our priorities should be God, self, spouse, kids, job. And you said, but Bo, you just told us to put, you know, God tells us to put others ahead of ourselves. Now listen, I'm talking God is first, right? And the way that we put God first is we spend time with Him alone ourselves. In other words, if I will put a little time, and maybe even a lot of time, alone with God, then I'm going to be a better spouse. Are you with me? So spiritually speaking, I got to put myself ahead. If all I'm doing is pouring out, when I get home, guess what I do? I don't want to be nice to her, because I haven't spent time with God and I haven't rejuvenated. Sometimes, you know, you need to put yourself ahead physically. In other words, you need to go exercise a little bit. You need to get in shape so that when you're, you know, with your spouse, again, you're able to serve her because you actually have some energy. I know for me, I feel terrible when I'm not working out or running or doing something physically, and it affects our marriage because I am a grump, and I don't feel good, and I'm eating crappy food and all that. So I have to put my spiritual life ahead. I have to put my physical and my emotional. When I'm emotionally stable and I'm emotionally, you know, right with God, listen, I'm going to be a better spouse. And so me time is important, but communicate that me time. You know, some of you ladies, you put your kids ahead of yourself all the stinking time. Can I just give you a piece of advice? Put the kids in the room, tell them to be quiet, and spend some time alone with God. It's okay. I got one clap from one mom. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and do it with, you know, again, just teach your kids what's most important, and that is God. God comes. I need to spend time with God so I don't kill you. Right? And so, again, me time is important, but it needs to be on a spiritual level, physical, emotional, all those things make you a better spouse. All of that. So me time is very, very important. I hope those answer some of your questions. I know we can answer questions forever, but that's what we want to leave you with is some of those answers to those questions. If you have other questions, write them down on that orange card, turn them in, and we will be happy to contact you, let you know what we think or what the Bible says about maybe the issues that you're going through in your relationships. We want to close it out. If you'll bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. We want to thank you guys for being with us and actually coming to church today. And I know for many of you guys, you're single and you're like, man, I don't even know, you know, why I'm here. Listen, if you're single, this is the greatest time of your life to hear this stuff because you're already ahead of the game. You say, oh, this stuff applies to people that are married. No, it applies to you now so that you can be prepared for marriage. And so some of you, you need to realize that you need to have a little faith in a big God. You can try to have all the right words, you can do all the right things, you can buy all the right flowers and buy all the diamonds and the houses and all that other stuff, but without God, you have nothing. Without Jesus ruling your life, you have no power, you have no strength, your marriage will suffer because you're not relying and building your foundation on the truth of God's word and the truth and the love of Jesus Christ. Here's what I know about relationships. Most relationships that end, they end because they haven't included and made God the center of their marriage. And so maybe you're here today and you need to go, you know what? I've tried marriage. I'm divorced. I've tried all this stuff. I've tried, all, you know, going to the counselors, doing all that stuff, but I don't know Jesus. Listen, that's where it all starts. You have to surrender your life to Jesus. He is the answer to every question that you have, not only in marriage, but in life. And so maybe you're here today and you need to say, Lord, I want you in my life. And you need to surrender your heart to Jesus. Listen, it's simple. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So maybe today you need to begin a relationship with Jesus. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, just like I said, you got to confess him as your Lord and Savior and believe in your heart that he's rose from the dead and that he lives in heaven. And guess what? You can do that right there in your chair. Maybe you just need to pray that prayer. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've tried to do this life on my own. But I'm surrendering my life to you today. Save me from my sin. Come into my life. I want to know you personally. Thank you for your forgiveness. Listen, I know, and I just feel like somebody just prayed that prayer for the very first time. And I don't know who you are. I don't know where your life is at. But I do know that because of that prayer that you just prayed, your eternity has changed. You've gone from a destiny in hell to a destiny in heaven. And you know what we do at Thousand Hills? We celebrate that. Because it's the greatest decision that you'll ever make in life. And it's the one thing that you need more than anything in this world. And so we praise God and we celebrate if you've given your life to Jesus today. Here in just a minute, we're going to have an opportunity. Olivia's going to come share with you how you can connect with our church. Because it's not just about a decision. It's about becoming a disciple of Jesus. It's about following him. It's about giving him the rest of your life and serving him. And so that's why the church exists, so that we can serve each other together and we can serve God together. And so please connect with us as we leave today. Lord, I just come to you right now and I thank you for the gift of marriage. I thank you for the ability to love one another and how you have given us that gift. And Lord, sometimes we abuse that gift. Sometimes we abuse our spouse with the words or the actions or, you know, whatever it is that we do wrong. But I thank you that we can get through anything with you. And so, Lord, provide hope, provide healing, provide strength, and provide love for everybody in this room. And we will praise you for it. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
We want to thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to this message. If you made a commitment today, you can contact us at thousandhillsranch.church or give us a call at 580-216-6427. One of our values is we ride to be generous. If you feel led to give, please go to thousandhillsranch.church, click on the Give tab to give your gift today. And remember, at Thousand Hills, you belong before you believe.